After evaluating the game, two teams that played extremely hard, extremely physical in the game. A lot of back and forth. I mean, that was a well-coached team that played great. We were able to make just the plays at the end to do what we had to do to win, and had some opportunities in the game that we need to capitalize on. But, you know, again, be able to overcome the different things in the game, again, is another step for us in the right direction of not looking back and just playing the next play and understanding the moment. You know, sometimes we would not finish a drive, which I'll talk about in a minute, but then we still didn't let those moments become too big and did what we had to do at the end of the game. Defense got great stops, ran the football in the red zone when we had to at the end of the game. Great offensive line blocking. Travion was awesome. Receivers blocked. Everything was in shape and come out with a victory. So, be able to play a team that was that hot and playing with that much confidence and had beaten some really good football teams in our league. There was already 3-0 in our league. And what they had to do is a very good win for us, and hopefully we can build on that. It's one of the next steps in which we got to take, and then we take the next step this week and go on the road and play a great South Carolina team who's played very well and had a game about as exciting as ours. I think it was pretty crazy and had a lot of different things going on in it, so they'll be ready for us. But, you know, as I look at the film, special teams, I think we continue to really grow. Again, I think Braden's kicking the football. I mean, it's crazy how well he's kicking it. Especially when you're in a field position battle with teams that play great defense and making teams go to the long field. But the other thing on top of that, his punts are outstanding. But also, sometimes you can kick the ball so far you can't cover it. Well, that's not happening. We're still getting the coverage, getting the guys down there in the net punt, tackling guys down there on the other end, and, you know, spreading out, doing the fundamental things in which we need to do. Like I say, doing ordinary things well. His kickoffs are outstanding. We're also, when they do come out, which they didn't last week, but when they do, we're getting them inside the 20-yard line. So those things, field position battles, we're doing an outstanding job on our coverage teams, on punt coverage and kickoff coverage. Punt return was huge in the game. I mean, their punter hit the ball excellent. I thought Rashad did a great job of his judgment, when to fair catch, when not to. We know the big punt return that set up a score. That was huge because that was about a 40-yard punt return that got us back to midfield that set up a score, which we're getting so much better in that. He's doing a good job making one guy miss. We had the wall set up. But he also made a bunch of 8, 10, 12, 14-yard returns when they hit those long punts that we're not giving up on our end. We're able to get back on the other, and that's huge. And where you're instead of starting at the 10 or 12, you're starting at the 25. That's big when you're calling plays and doing things in the field position battle. So in that regard, I thought he did an outstanding job. Kickoff return, they kicked it out almost every time. So there, Seth, again, hit his extra points. He missed a kick. He hit it well. Just hit the upright. We'll just go back and keep going. He's hitting the ball well. He's got to get it right in line and get the timing right, and we'll get our snaps and everything are good. So want to make them, but I'm very confident in the things he's doing and where he's going. Defensively, thought we played extremely well. Played very hard, played very physical up front. The Matabuke was very disruptive. Kingsley was very disruptive. Mack was very disruptive. Landis was disruptive. All those guys up front did a great job. Had 6 sacks on the night, which is huge. And then even a lot of pressures. And then the thing we did really well that I thought their quarterback we knew was very dynamic. When he had space to run, we pushed him to the right direction and then tackled him in space. Not a lot of people tackle him in space. Donovan himself, I know Dono had a phenomenal job. He played in that game, was outstanding in the game, had a lot of open field tackles. And as a defense, we tackled very well in space. And what we had to do there, again, was great against the run. Knew that, covered well, pressured the quarterback. I did a great job in overtime. I mean, we're good on third down, getting them off the field. They never crossed the 50 hardly the whole game. And then in overtime, getting the big sack was critical. And then, of course, it led to the missed field goal. So, I mean, the defense, hats off. That's an unbelievable job against a very good team that's done very well. Offensively, got to get better in some areas. We're physical, ran the football when we had to. Threw it when we had to. I mean, made some really good plays. Good third down conversions. Had a lot of critical third down. Hit some third and longs, which we improved on. Some different decisions in that. We were good. But we had too many. Now, we had 4 motion penalties before the snap. Different guys that moved before the snap. We had 1 on the 2-yard line. We're 2nd and 2, and we overcome it and scored a touchdown. But, you know, self-inflicted wounds there. Had for 1st and 10 on the 18, get a high snap over our head. It cost us. And that's a drive. We miss a field goal. We have a missed blocking on a communication. We're handing the ball inside and put the ball on the ground. We got it back. Just finishing drives. It just goes back. We're moving the football. Guys are making plays. We got to pass protect a little bit better on some things. We isolated 41 once there, and he got us. So after that, we went back to chipping him and got it back under control. But, taking care and finishing drives, that's it. Little things, doing ordinary things. Like Travion ran the ball extremely well. Thought he was very physical in the game. Thought Jayshon ran the ball well in the game. When he ran the ball, thought he was outstanding in the game. Got to keep getting him in there, him and Kwame. And then I thought in receiving, Jace, again, Travion had passes. We had him a couple screen passes, caught some balls out of the backfield and empty. He made some nice runs on. Jace did a really nice job in the passing game, finishing off runs and passes down the field. And the receivers had a couple catches. We got to get him a little more involved to be what we need to be. But I thought 11 played well. He managed the game well. Even his interception was the other thing. We got a slant for a first down. We're moving again about the 30, 35 yard line, 40, whatever it was. And just unforcing, we just let one go through our hands and not on purpose. And guys, Hezekiah, we believe, and we'll throw it to him again. That's just part of it. And that was just part of the way that game was going. And didn't convert there, but 11 played really well on third down. I thought he did, down the red zone, did a good job. I had to fumble at the end, which, it just can't happen. It can't put the ball on the ground. The worst, we're punting the ball right there. Can't happen. He knows that. But I thought he managed the game well. Thought he played hard. Thought he ran the ball when he had to run it, ran the option. Got to send out a run checks well. And when we had time back there, he threw the ball really well. And when we had time most of the time, but just one of those hard-fought games. So the second half, he came out and was very – it was a different route that we called three or four different times, and he hit three or four different receivers off the same combination of route, which tells me he's really understanding what he's doing, what we're trying to attack. But the big thing is, on offense, the consistency to finish drives. Very happy the way we're moving the ball. Got to finish and got to put points on the board, whether it's making the field goals, getting the 2 and 3 score leads, finishing with touchdowns, the things in which we got to do. So we'll get back to that, and there's plenty of us to get better at that we need to work at, and especially going to South Carolina. It'll be a very tough game over there. Questions?
To the right, Gabe.
Yeah, Jimbo, your secondary, it seemed like a lot of those sacks might have been coverage sacks in a lot of ways. In what ways are your guys really covering better than they were earlier?
Well, I think two things we did, too. I think we mixed up the zones. I think we had different combinations of zone coverage, which made the quarterback hold the ball. Like I say, sometimes they can cover, and also your looks can also do. I think they're covering man coverage. You saw Chuck Allen a couple times batting the ball down the sideline, played well. Renfro, I don't even think, had many balls thrown to him. Dono was playing well on the tight ends. They were matching the leverage and understanding what Mike we want. And then I think we mixed the zone coverages and made the guy hold the ball, and then the rush got to him. So I think it was a combination of man zone and the different looks we got that helped us get pressure, and then the pressure itself.
Down front, Brent, right, and to the back, Jake.
What would you say were the keys to the success of your second half of seasons at Florida State? And are you confident that will happen in your first year at Texas?
Well, that's the plan. I think hopefully by our training and the way we practice – that we're out there in pads and we lift hard during the season along with our time allotments and make sure we allot time for that, how we train in the summers and how we work our off-season conditioning and how we go about it. The object is to be a better team in December than you were in August, September. And that's what it's our whole goal in everything we do. And the way we practice, the way we play, and the whole dynamic of the way this organization set up is to do that. So that's when you want to peak. So we'll find out. We'll see. But I say this, and I say this before, in our GPS and our numbers and our things in practice, we're getting faster. Guys are staying up for longer periods of time. Accelerations are getting quicker. Top speeds are staying there longer. You know what I'm saying? So in our numbers and our physical testing that we see so far, that's reflecting it.
Coach, to the very back left behind the lights, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Coach, it seems South Carolina, at least in the last couple of games, has played really well in the second half and adjusted really well, especially on the road. How important is it to start fast for y'all?
Well, it's going to be we're going to start fast and finish fast in this one. We're going to have to make our adjustments, too, because they're going to do it. But anytime you're on the road, it gives you confidence when you get out of the blocks to play well, like we did at the Arkansas game up there. Got a jump, got out in front. But now this game we're going to have to maintain because they can score points. They got their receivers. I mean, Debo, that guy can make plays all over the field. The quarterback played an outstanding game. They can run it physically. 13 can fly. They got this big 6'4", 220-pound wide out. So they got skill guys outside. And we're going to start fast and finish strong. I know that. This will be a battle over there. And that's a very, very tough, hostile environment.
On the right, Suzanne. Then down front, Travis.
First off, is tomorrow your birthday?
Yes. I forgot that till yesterday.
I just saw it down there. Happy birthday early.
I'm glad to have them, but sometimes you want to forget them. You start getting a certain age.
And on Will Muschamp, you all were coordinators at LSU.
Yes.
And how has he changed? Is he the coach you thought he would be?
Without a doubt. Will was one of the brightest guys I've ever been around. I mean, we won a national championship together as coordinators, and we're friends. And like I said, as people used to know, we used to own a house, beach house together. I mean, it was a lot of things. He's always been a great friend, a great guy. He was a GA. People forget this. He was a GA at Auburn when I was coaching at Auburn. And he and my brother were the GAs, believe that or not. So, I mean, it goes way on back. We've known each other a long time. The kids grew up, they were born there together. But Will's a great guy, tremendous football mind, and very competitive. we'll have those guys ready to play. I mean, he gets those guys up to play. Will was a heck of a player himself. So, I mean, they'll be ready to go. He's a great guy. It's fun. You know all them guys. Man, you hate playing all your friends. I mean, you really do.
Front left, Travis, and then Ben.
Coach, there's resounding answer from all the players say that Otaro Laka and Tyrell Dotson are the funniest guys on the team, and they're constantly cracking jokes. What is that like for you to see them cutting it up on the field? But do you think that that helps them stay loosened with the chemistry?
No, I mean, you can do that when you're confident and you're prepared. That's not clowning. That's loosening things up, and you know you're locked. You can lock into what you do. You don't have to sit there and stare. When you know the answers to the test, and you've prepared well, and you've practiced well, and you're in good shape, and you're confident in what you do, that just lets you relax and play better. And I think it gets the guys, but I think it shows their leadership and confidence in what they're trying to do. Because there's a way. Some guys you can clown, and other guys you can come across. This guy's he's scared. You know what I'm saying? There's a scaredness that he's trying to distract from what's going on. And then there's one that, hey, he's doing it, but he's backing it up. And there's a confidence with preparation and things that go on. Those guys do a great job. They're both very, very, very intelligent guys.
Have they cracked you up yet?
Oh, they do all the time. They're always doing something now, clowning.
To the right, Ben, and then Olin.
Jim, what's the most important? What do you do to keep a team even keeled throughout the course of a season and keep them from getting too high or too low?
Remind them why they've had success. I mean, history is your greatest teacher. Why you've had success and why you failed and why you haven't done it. And remind them and then to understand the priorities and the self-talk in which you have. There's a language you have within good teams and good organizations that kind of, I say, trigger words that trigger you back to what we do and who we are. You know what I'm saying? And when I was a kid, it was my dad like this. When he gave you that look, that was a family look. In other words, shut up, end of it, and I'm gonna have a problem. And there's in an organization, there's a key word sometimes that, hey, lock in, or I mean, it may be find a crumb. Hey, let's go higher. I mean, there's just words that we have self-talk and things we do that I think the guys remind themselves of that. And I think that's where the leadership of the football team, when they see those things get distracted or the priorities aren't the right things, that they can get those guys. Not just coaches. That goes back to players and leadership, too, that I think is very important. And I think our leadership, our unity council is doing a good job of that.
Go second row, Olin, then to the back, Justin.
Yeah, Coach, did you anticipate at all that the run defense would play to this level, and how confident are you that they're going to be able to maintain that?
I mean, you don't ever know that. I mean, but I thought we had very good people, and I thought Mike always has done a great job in the run. I thought we've had good front seven, and our safeties are fitting well, and, you hope that that's what you want, and that's one of our priorities. I mean, like I got to say, in this league, you got to run the football, and you got to stop the run. I've always said that. I'll always say that in any level of football. I don't care what it is. You got to be physical in the trenches to be good. You can have all the skill and you score points and that comes. But you got to be in there, and that's what we work on. It's how we practice, and those guys are buying into it and doing one heck of a job.
To the back right, Justin, then down front, Brent.
Building off that, Coach, I know the touchdown to Sternberger ended up being a chunk play on offense. Is that something – do you need to manufacture more of those? I mean, I know –
Well, we've had – I'm going to tell you what, the last game or two. The first game, first five games, we averaged almost 14 a game.
Right. Lately, I guess it just
– We just haven't hit as many. You're right.
Deep balls down the field.
Well, and protection. That also takes protection. You know, we had some opportunities. We got some interference calls at Arkansas. We hit a couple, and we were running the football. It not always had to be in the throws. It can be in the runs. We had about – seven runs I said at Arkansas were about 9-yard runs. They were about 2 inches from being 40 to 60-yard runs. You know, and it can come in the run game too, which the other day got the screen game. We got a couple that way. And then protection. But when you play good teams, those chunk plays, I say this, turnovers and big plays are as important in games as anything when I call chunk plays. Those two things right now are as two big a determining factors of who wins games as there anything in football right now.
Down front, Brent.
I'm going to hit you with a two-parter here. What goes into the idea of Thursday travel, and is that something for road games, and is that something you did at Florida State?
Yes, something we started a long time ago. I originally started for the noon games on the road because you were in there so late at 6. You know, you get in at 5 or 6 in the evening, and it's bang, bang, and you're at 7 the next morning. And then we started for the rest and recuperation 2 nights before the game. The sleep you get and the rest you get is very important. And also, when you leave the next day, academically, believe it or not, it helps. People say, well, how you know? We take our whole academic people with us. And they have study hall and class, or their tutoring sessions in their study halls for whatever, it's 2 to 3 or 4 hours that morning. When they sleep in till 9, and we don't start anything till 1:30. So they have a three to four-hour block that they do nothing but academics. They get all caught up on everything they do, all their homework, study halls, tutorings, everything in which you do. We take the whole academic session because the next day when you leave, if you're going to leave at 1 or 2, well, they have to get out of class, go get stuff ready. So you go to class till 9 or 10 or whatever it is, 10:30. Sometimes you'll still miss class. This actually helps you, and it helps your grades and systems. And those guys, they get them for longer periods of time, and that lock-in and can lock in the study hall thing. So, yes, it's enhanced our performance, our rest, our sleep, and then you're there, you're relaxed, you go in that day, you get another good night's rest, and you play.
And has Rashad Paul developed into a guy who's just making sure he makes the catch on the punt returns to a guy who can now find the seam?
And he did it early. And I say that, but you got to watch now. He's always been that way. He had a couple early. We've been hitting some – well, the Alabama game, they didn't hit some good punts. So short punts are hard to return because, you know, you don't get the return. And some of them guys, like against Arkansas, that guy was hitting 4-6, 4-7 hang time and not returning. Punting, the kicking game in sports today, think about what you just had yesterday. You had Graham Gano, who was one of our guys at Florida. He was a phenomenal guy. Hits a 63-yarder to win a game. I mean, that, remember when Tom Dempsey hit that, we said nobody could ever even come close. You're getting – and a guy hit for Missouri the other day. What did he hit? A 57-yarder to go ahead with a minute to go. The kickers today are so much better than they were. You talk about a position that's progressed as much. They talk about quarterbacking and throwing and size. I think kicking and punting has progressed as much as anything in the game of football, as any part of it is has. And I think they're so good that they affect how you return. But, yes, answering your question, Rashad, the times he's getting his hands on balls, he is becoming a really big-time threat returning punts and does a great job at that. But some of the reasons they're not at times, because how many times, remember you used to try to cough in corner when you kicked the ball, and the guy, some guys were good, some guys weren't. Now that all them guys do that Australian kick, and everybody's getting the ball inside the 10, 8. Think about how that's changed. I mean, if you really – we thought about it about 2 years ago, and I really started just – you know, it should have obvious, but it starts hitting on you and say, my Lord, I mean, these guys are punting the ball and so high and so long, and field goals have gotten longer. And remember, you used to kick with a tee in college. You don't even do that anymore. And the deadening, the quality of kicking and the sport of football is, I think, has changed as much as any position in the game.
Time for a couple more. Ben and then Olin.
You know, it sounds like South Carolina is not really sure what they're going to do at quarterback. Will hasn't publicly said what they're going to do. How do you go about preparing for a game where you don't know who the starter is going to be?
Well, I think their whole system can't change. They're not going to change the whole system. And what the guy did last week was very good. It was very similar to what they did before. One guy may have more quarterback runs than the other or not. But, you know, I think they're much more similar than they are different. But both guys are excellent players. I mean, Bentley is a heck of a player. I've known him since high school. His dad's a great coach, great guy. He's done well. He come in and done one heck of a job for them. So, I mean, to go play like he did. So, we're going to face a good one, whoever we face.
Olin?
Yeah, Coach, I have kind of a two-parter, too.
You guys are getting complicated.
I don't mean to be. But, you know, you were just talking about all the kicking and things like that. But, you know, you've been around and seen a lot. Do you see anything new out of Braden Mann? Does he do anything that actually surprises you? And then I also wanted you to –
Yeah, he's very consistent. Didn't get bored.
Okay.
And I say that for a kicker. Kickers are like golfers. I went through it. Remember, we had one at Florida State. Was the most accurate in the history of NCAA. And he come back one time, and he started – I mean, he went – which, you know, was – you know, Aguayo. I mean, he was awesome. Missed one kick as a freshman. He comes back for an off season one time, and he's kicking, and he's missing some. And I know there's a couple little things he did wrong. And I said, well, what's going on? You're doing some things there. Well, I did that, but it gives me a little – when I went to that camp, talked to these other kickers, it gives me 5 more yards on my thing. I said, let me ask something. You made 26 out of 20. Any of them guys ever do that as a freshman? Said no. I said, won't they do what you do? Won't you quit trying to do what they do? You know, and I joked about it, but I'm saying this. Kickers are like golfers. So think about this. You talk about Tiger Woods. How many times did he change his swing? They get bored and they tinker. Well, I'm going to do this a little bit, and that helps me on that, and that helps me on that. And kickers can get a hair off. And I tell him every day, don't get bored. Don't get bored. In other words, keep doing I don't keep doing exactly what you're doing. Now, that's hard. Believe it or not, it's a lot harder to do than people think because you take it for granted or you really focus. You know what I'm saying? You can overfocus. But he's just relaxing, trusting the process, and hitting the ball and not getting bored.
Yeah, it's also, I think, very
talented.
An overlooked part of football. But I just want to ask your thoughts about his kickoffs, especially when you got a guy like Deebo Samuel this week.
You don't want to touch the ball. When you can kick it out now. Now, there's two. There used to be an advocate when, and I like this, and I went away from, I was going to have him do it some, and we worked on it some, but he punched so much, if he was just a kickoff guy, well, you hang it right at the goal line. And we used to try to hang it at the goal line or at the one, where they couldn't do that, because when you had great athletes on your kickoff team, and you could tackle guys inside the 20 instead of giving it to them at the 25. But now, with a fair catch rule, they can fair catch every one of them, so you might as well make sure they don't touch it. You know what I'm saying? If they don't want to return it. And the ones you think about that we've brought out, most of them we've got inside the 20. Because of his hang time. There used to be a different philosophy, but that fair catch rule has changed everything a little bit. You can still do that and make him the choice, but you got to make sure it's a guy you want to touch the ball. And it's great to have Braden that when you say, you know, that guy back there, I don't want to have him any chance to touch the ball. So when you can do that, that's an added bonus for sure.
Suzanne, wrap us up.
So, Jimbo, you're a voter on this year's USA Today Coaches Panel?
Yes, ma'am.
How'd you vote the Aggies this week?
I'll keep that proud.
What's your general philosophy on how you vote? Like,
try to be honest with, it's not a biased vote. It's what your opinion is and what you truly believe. Now, sometimes you got to gather information because there's different parts of the country and make sure you're – and try to look at the schedules and who they're played and what they've done. And also give feedback. And I've seen them do a tremendous job of getting that information to you to be able to, you know, he's so well respected and who's playing well, what's playing well. And do it as honest as you can. Because, listen, this isn't about our team. It's about kids in general. And anytime somebody takes their own team and does it – specifically to push them up. Now, you may have a higher impression of your own team because you know more of it or whatever, but it's about the kids. And it's unfair to the kids that are playing the game and coaching them. So you try to be as honest as you possibly can to make sure you get the best teams out there and put them in your own opinion. Now, you may be wrong. Some people vary, and that's what opinions are for. But try to do it with as much factual information you can and the integrity of doing it the right way.
Thanks, Coach. Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. Have a great day.